Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then from Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so much. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. Lord, we just have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we thank you that you are among us here, that you are ready and willing to teach us your ways. Lord, we ask that you would humble us. Lord, that you would humble our pride, that we might be taught by you. Lord, I pray that you would protect these people from the sin, from the error that is in me. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us now from your word. Lord, that we might grow in wisdom, that we might grow in obedience to you, that we might bring you more glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know better than God? Do you know better than God? It's an easy one, isn't it? No, of course we don't. We do not know better than God. And yet, every time we rebel against the authorities that he has put over us, that's exactly what we're claiming. With our actions, we are saying that we know better than God. This morning, I'm taking another short break from the book of Proverbs in order to cover another important topic, and that is submission. Submission is a very important topic. It affects all of our lives, often every day. And yet, oftentimes our view of submission can get warped. We can get off track. You see, a lot of times we view submission as a negative thing. We really view it almost as a defeat, don't we? It's something that sometimes we think that the weak and lowly, it's what they're forced to do. But the high and mighty, well, they're exempt from it. But that's not the case at all. It doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult, a man or a woman. We all need to submit to God and his order of authority in our lives. Now, you might think that submitting to a holy, righteous God would be easy. You know, one that would always only tell you to do what is right. You might think that would be easy. But let's not forget about the nature of our rebellious hearts. You remember back in history, back in the garden, when Adam and Eve were there and God said to them, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree from the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." From all of these trees you can eat, but not this one. And we all know what Adam did. He ate from the one tree that God said not to. And this was the beginning of our rebellious nature. Now I give this example not only to show that we all have a problem with authority and with submission, and to show where this problem began, but also so that we will understand that as we go through this, the problem with submission, our problem, is not in the sinfulness of those in authority over us. You see, our real problem with submission is our own rebellious hearts. We saw here, God, of course, is perfect. He is holy. And yet, we struggle to obey Him. So we need to not focus on the sin of those in authority over us, but we need to consider the sin of our heart in wanting to rebel. Now, life is full of many different circumstances, many different relationships where submission applies. But today, I've narrowed it down to just four areas of life that we're going to look at. We're going to look at submission in the family, submission in the state, submission in the church, and submission at work. And as we look at these areas of life and consider submission, there will be some reoccurring themes. One of them is that submission is God's will for your life. You know, I think this time of year of high school graduates, college graduates, and they all have this one desire. They want to know, what is God's will for my life? Let me tell you. It isn't specific, but it's very general and it's very important. Submitting to those in authority in your life. That's God's will for your life. Another reoccurring theme is that it's a blessing. Authority over us is a blessing. God uses it as a great protection for us. And also, as we go through here, consider Christ. He is the great example. So let's begin. Number one, first area of submission, we'll consider the family. Now here we'll begin in the family where we all began, and that is as children. Colossians 3:20, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Children, this is one of the things that God has made abundantly clear in Scripture, that you must obey your parents. You must submit to them. You must honor them. You must submit your will to theirs. That means that you need to care more about what they want than what you want. Now, children, you'll understand this more and more the older you get. But God works through sinful people. And this is exactly what He's doing in your parents. You see, God knows they're not perfect. He knows all about your parents' sins. And even so, He's using them. He is using them and the authority that He has given them to be a blessing to you. So although they have many faults, God still wants you to submit to your parents. So understand, just because your parents are sinners, that does not excuse you from submitting to their authority. And also understand that rebelling against your parents is rebelling against the God who commanded you to obey them. It's rebelling against God's order for the family. So I want to warn you this morning, you children. I want to warn you of your sinful hearts. You see, I'm a sinner, and I was a child once as well. So I know your struggle, and I still struggle with thinking that I know better than those in authority over me. So I'm warning you, children, you don't know better than your parents. And even if you do, it doesn't change the fact that God has put them in authority over you. He wants you to submit. So children, you don't know best. God does. And He has said to be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So children, submit to your parents. Now also within the family, we have the husband and wife relationship. And while both are accountable to each other, God has still ordered the family with different roles for the husband and the wife. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband." So we'll begin looking at this passage concerning the wives. Wives are to be subject to their husbands, because the husband is head of the wife. So she is to see to it that she respect him. Now, just like when a child is trying to submit to parents who are sinning, it is most difficult for a wife to submit to a husband that is in sin, to a husband that is not loving her like Christ does the church. But wives are given instructions even concerning this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, in our selfish, rebellious, feminist culture we live in, many professing Christians even reject these passages. They hate it. But it's God's wisdom we see here. It's His design. We see here that God still wants the wife to submit to her husband, even when he is disobedient to the word. And we see that at times, God uses the wife and her submission to her disobedient husband to bring him back, to bring him to repentance and back to the right path. So wives, if your husband is disobedient to the word, if he is in sin, if he is not loving you like Christ loves the church, please don't rebel. This will not be easy. But wives, do not reject God's order for the family. Trust God. Be submissive to your husband. And pray that God will use your behavior to win him back and to restore the relationship. Now, besides our own struggles in our marriages, I'm sure we have all seen the devastation in other families when a wife chooses man's wisdom over God's in this area. It is a sad, sad thing when wives remove themselves from the protection and provision of their husbands. This is not God's design for the family. So wives, I'm going to tell you something that you already know because you need reminded. Submitting to your husband will not always be easy, but it is right. It's right. Now, husbands, we're not going to read over again the last few passages that we read, but there we saw lots of instructions for the husbands as well, didn't we? Husbands are to love their wives as Christ does the church. Husbands are to honor their wives. They are to live with them in an understanding way. Now, it may not seem like the husband has any submitting to do because he is the one given the most authority in the family. But understand that the husband must play his role in God's design for the family. He must submit his desires to God's desires and be the leader that God wants him to be. Husbands, God has said that you are the head of your wife. You are the one who is called to lead your family. The responsibility is yours. So husbands, submit to God. Take seriously the responsibilities that He has given you. And don't try to reason your way out of leading your family, or to try to pass on to someone else the responsibilities that God has given you. Husbands, receive this warning. If you don't take action as the head of your wife, as the leader of your family, you are rebelling against God, and your whole family will suffer for it. Also, and we'll get more to this when we look at other areas of submission, but husbands, you cannot expect your children and your wife to submit to you if you are unwilling to put yourself under the authorities in your life and submit to them. We must lead by example. So the second area we'll look at is submission in the state. Now it seems that in the area of government, many Christians are quick to judge. Oftentimes the attitude in Christian circles is one of rebellion against the government. And as the U.S. government continues to get bigger, continues to overstep their bounds in jurisdictions that God has not given them, we need to be very, very careful that we're thinking biblically about authority in our lives. Let's begin here with looking at a few different passages. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 13-17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Also, let's read Romans 13:1-7 again. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So just a few things we see here in these passages. I don't know about you, but it sticks out to me to consider these rulers. Here they're referred to as ministers of God, as servants of God.
And we see that they bear the sword for good reason, to bring wrath upon those who do evil and protect the citizens. And so consider your attitude toward the government. We should honor them, we should pray for them, and we should support them in paying taxes. Now, as I consider what the Bible says about submitting to government, I'm convicted. You see, there have been many times that my attitude tends to be rebellious toward the government. You see, I mean, I would just like to sit down with Obama and tell him all the things he's doing wrong. I mean, he is promoting wickedness. He is supporting it in every way. And I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place for that. But what I'm saying is that we need to consider, we need to examine our attitude toward those in authority in government. We need to be reminded that government is not bad. Okay? Government is not a bad thing. It is part of God's order and design for society. And so we need to be very careful how we respond to our government. We need to not just focus on all the areas that we disagree with, all the areas that we feel like sin is being encouraged. But we need to consider also the good things that the government is doing in providing us safety, protection, many things that our government provides that other countries do not have. Now, I also want to say that there are so many different areas, especially when it comes to the government, that different situations, and how are we to respond to them? And I want you to know, I don't know. It's not crystal clear in my mind in many different situations. But what I do know is that my heart is rebellious, and I need to guard against that. So we must be on guard. We need to seek to please the Lord in submitting to the governing authorities. So, the third area, submission in church. In the local church, God has not left it up to man to decide how we should worship Him or how the church should function. But He has given us instructions on how to worship Him and how the local church should be governed. God has designed the local church to be orderly and to have positions of authority. He has given the church elders and deacons and instructed us in His Word on what that is to look like, from qualifications to responsibilities, and we are also instructed to submit to the leadership in the local church. Now let's first look at what a blessing it is to have elders. Acts 20, 28 through 30 says this, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them." Here we see what a blessing it is that the Lord has given the local church elders. The elders are to care for the church body as a shepherd cares for a flock of sheep. There will be attacks on the church from outside the church and from within. And we see that one of the purposes of elders is to protect the flock, protect the church from these attacks. You see, all ideas are not good ideas. All worship is not pleasing to the Lord. All teaching is not good teaching. And elders must be on the alert to protect the church from poor doctrine. So how should we respond to the leaders in the church? Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." So we see that elders are watching over our souls. They are laboring for our benefit. So we are instructed here not to cause them grief, but rather joy. Other passages speak of honoring elders, especially those who preach and teach. So God has blessed the local church with elders, and we need to view them as a blessing and submit to them. Now, this seems like an easy thing to do when you're all getting along and everything's going well and you don't have any major disagreements. But what about the times when you think they're wrong? Or the times when you know they're wrong? What then? How will we treat them when we're not happy with how they're shepherding the church? Certainly, this is challenging. And elders need to be approachable. But at the same time, we need to be careful to present our concerns in an honoring way. May God give us all humility in these challenges, recognizing that we're all sinful people, and yet we must be submissive and honor to the authorities God gives us. Now, it is so important for us to be committed to the local church. Now, I want to clarify, I'm not in any way referring to those of you who have not yet covenanted together with us. But I want to stress the importance, not just of covenanting, but truly being committed to the local church. I am speaking of the importance of us placing ourselves under the authority in the local church. You see, unfortunately, it is becoming common today for some Christians to reject this authority in their lives and just not be a part of a local church at all, to just exempt themselves from the local body. But I'm telling you, it's wrong. It's wrong, and it's dangerous. You remember that I said earlier that God is in the business of using sinful men. Well, it's no different in the church. Now, I don't say this to nullify the qualifications of an elder. Not at all. They are very important. But you see, I'm sure that we have all had bad experiences, haven't we? You see, there will be those who abuse their position, who lord it over you. There are elders in churches today who should not be elders. But please understand, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't rebel against God's design for the local church and just go home and do your own thing. This is so important. Listen, I don't know what the Lord will do in the future with all of us. I pray that He will add and take away as He sees fit. But if you leave Coram Deo, this is my prayer, that if you leave Coram Deo, when you leave, you will go and join yourself to another church, that you will put yourself under the authority there and submit. This is, again, this is a blessing. It is a protection for God's people. And remember, this isn't my idea. This isn't John's idea. This is God's design. He wants us to be under authority in the local church. So, the fourth area we'll look at is submission in work. When it comes to work, it really doesn't matter what your job is or what position you may have in a company. Almost always, we have someone in authority over us, don't we? And so submission is usually an everyday issue at work. And whether your boss is a Christian or a pagan, he is a sinner. And so there's going, and you are a sinner, and so there's going to be struggles. Okay, he's going to make mistakes at times. He's going to be unreasonable. Or at least there's going to be times that you think he's being unreasonable. But even then, we are called to be submissive. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 18. Says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So here we see that we are to continue to submit, even when our boss is unreasonable. And we are given the example that Christ has set for us. Listen, if you haven't experienced this, you will. There will be times when you will be mistreated. You will be taken advantage of. You will be cheated. But when those times come, remember Christ. Listen, nothing was more unfair than what happened to Christ. We love to think that we're concerned about what's fair and fighting for our rights. But listen, Christ was perfect. No sin. And yet, at the hands of sinful men, he suffered. But how did he suffer? Kicking and screaming? No. He suffered quietly. And not only that, but it says that he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So we too should submit to our masters here on earth and keep entrusting ourselves to our Heavenly Father, who works all things for his glory and for our good. So in conclusion, Christ is the perfect example for us. He has placed men in authority over us, and he wants us to submit to them. I hope you see how rebellious it is for us to always be looking for the exceptions to the rules instead of faithfully submitting to our authorities. If we are going to obey God in submitting to authorities, we must be willing to suffer as Christ did. May we give those in authority over us reason to rejoice and not bring them grief. May God open our eyes so that we can see what a blessing authority in our lives is. And may God humble our pride and help us to submit to our authorities, even when it's hard. We do not know best. God does. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we apologize. Lord, we have sinned against you. Lord, we have been so quick to give excuses, so quick to rebel against the authorities that you have placed in our life. Lord, you have blessed us by giving us authority. And yet we have rejected it at times. Lord, we thank you so much for this reminder from your word. Lord, we need it. We need reminded what a blessing authority is in our lives. What a protection. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with those in authority in our lives, in all areas of life. And Lord, we pray that you would help us not to bring them grief, but to bring them joy. Lord, that we would honor you. We thank you for Christ. We thank you that you are the perfect example, that you were submissive, perfectly obedient to the Father. Lord, we pray that we would be submissive to those in authority over us. Lord, that you would humble us, that we might honor you in this way. We thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.